Thank you for joining me for this podcast to encourage, inspire, and strengthen. If you have a Bible or some other device, please turn with me to Romans, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If you will bow your heads in a word of prayer, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distills as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. On today, we will take for a subject, the blood still works. Every person connected to this message can apply the blood in three ways. Number one, burdens weigh us down. Number two, breakthroughs will happen. Number three, his blood works. In 2011, 8 days after Easter, the most notorious terrorist of our lifetime, Osama bin Laden, was killed. It was that year Bashan Mitchell and Lisa Page sang, "The same blood that was shed way back at Calvary is the same blood that's working now for me. His blood still works, and I'm glad to report that it's never lost its power." A few years before that, a black man had just been elected president of the United States for the first time. The country was reeling from an economic crisis that threatened the entire U.S. economy. Suddenly, a pandemic broke out in America. There were 60.8 million reported cases of H1N1. 575,000 people died worldwide in 2009 from that virus. 80% of the deaths were under 65 years old. It was at that time that songwriter Malcolm Williams said, "The blood still works." He said, "I know it works because it raised me. I know it works because it saved me. I know it works because it filled me. I know it works because it healed me. It will never lose its power. I know the blood still works." A generation before that, Andre Crouch lived in California and saw a man named Rodney King get beaten by police. The entire world witnessed the most brutal police beating ever recorded at that time. To make matters worse for Andre and the people of his community, the police were all found not guilty of any wrongdoing. Riots broke out all over America and more blood was shed. People were killed. Andre sang these words about another man that was beaten. Andre said, "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. It soothes my doubts and calms my fear and dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never ever lose its power." 50 years before that, Mahalia Jackson couldn't live in certain neighborhoods because of her skin color. She couldn't drink from certain water fountains because of her skin color. She couldn't get certain jobs because of her skin color. But she stood before a national television audience and said, "They nailed him to the tree. They nailed him to the tree for me. They pierced him in the side. They pierced him in the side for me. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died for me. He rose from the grave. He rose up from the grave for me. He reigns as King of Kings. He reigns as King of Kings for me. All that happened because of the blood, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. I know it was the blood for me." The author of Hebrews asked, how much more will the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? The answer was in the form of a statement at the end of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Christ's blood was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he will appear a second time without sin as the Savior of the world. The statement was made possible because on a hill called Calvary, a man named Jesus stopped being a man when he died. Blood spilled from his nailed, damaged hands and feet. Blood and water streamed from him being stabbed in his side with a javelin. Before his death, Jesus declared his blood would be shed to take away the consequences of our sinful actions. He declared that if we believe his words and receive his spirits, we would have his victory. As we evaluate the whole of human existence, we can now see how God planned to save us. That first plan contained directions for worship and a specially designed place of worship. A large outer tent was set up, the lampstand, the table, and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain was stretched, and behind it a smaller inside tent set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. In it were the gold incense altar and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant, containing the gold urn of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the covenant tablets, and the angel wing-shadowed mercy seat. After this was set up, the priests went about their duties in the large tent. Only the high priest entered the smaller inside tent, and then only once a year, offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and the people's accumulated sins. But when Jesus arrived, he bypassed the old tent and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place. Jesus also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood, instead using his own blood as the price to set us. If animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behavior, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that we can live completely for God's will. Like a will that takes effect when someone dies, the new contract plan given by Jesus was put into action at his death. His death marked the transition from the old plan to the new one, canceling the old obligations and allowing everyone that died believing in God to receive the eternal inheritance that was promised them. Jesus, by his death, brought together God and his people in a new and perfect way. Number one, burdens weigh us down. At one time or another, all people have to deal with the burdens of this world, which includes sin. In Romans 3 and 23, these words are harsh, but listen to what Paul said. There's nobody living right, not even one. Nobody knows the score, nobody alert for God. They've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys. No one's living right. I can't find a single one. Their throats are gaping graves, their tongues slick as mudslides. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and pollute the air. They race for the honor of sinner of the year, litter the land with heartbreak and ruin, don't know the first thing about living with others. They never give God the time of day. Number two, breakthroughs will happen. God has made it possible for us to gain a victory, as detailed in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Paul said, in spite of our sinful nature, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall be changed. Our corruptible body will put on incorruption. Our mortal body will put on immortality. At that point, we will understand the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Last, number three, the blood works. The basis for this victory is that Jesus Christ has washed us from our sins with his blood. At that blood will never lose its power. Revelation 1:5 lets us understand that. Stephanie Perry was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma on April 28, 2015, exactly 10 days before the commencement ceremony for her master's in public administration from the University of Georgia. Unknowingly, she had been exhibiting symptoms for a few months, but finally made an appointment with the University Health Center after she noticed lumps around her neck. That entire next month was filled with tests and procedures. Then one day, it was official. She had cancer. Almost immediately, everything started piling up. She thought, how would I finish my finals? Would I still graduate? It was overwhelming, stressful, and scary. Her professors were great and worked with her to make sure she finished her exams. Before graduation, a chemo port was put into her chest. 1 week after receiving her diploma, her treatments, chemotherapy began. Chemotherapy significantly decreases red blood cell count. So because of her chemotherapy treatments, she needed blood transfusions, a lot of them. She went through 2 stem cell transplants and needed blood transfusions and platelets for those procedures as well. During cancer treatments, her immune system got so low that doctors had to feed her with healthy red blood cells and platelets. Today, when she gets weak, she goes in for blood transfusions. The procedure takes about 4 hours, but during those 4 hours, she says she counts her blessings because she knows how much better life feels after she is replenished with healthy blood from kind-hearted donors. She gave an interview to CNN and said, I think it's safe to say that my successful battle with cancer largely depended upon the generosity of complete strangers that donated blood. I'm alive today because of donated blood. Romans 5:6, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In other words, we are alive today because of donated blood. Christ arrived right on time to donate his blood and save our lives. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for his sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to be any good to anybody. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble can inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son and sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever. And today, no matter our circumstance, your entire life is saved because of his blood. I know it was the blood because it saved me. One day when I was lost, he died on the cross. I know it was the blood. And today's good news is that the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. It gives me strength from day to day. It will never, ever lose its power. Even if you don't currently have enough strength to say it for yourself, let me say it for you. It still works. The blood still works. It still works in COVID-19. It still works in the middle of the layoff. It still works in the middle of the e-learning. It still works in the middle of not being able to find groceries and everything else. It still works. It still works. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because when we were a wretch undone, you saw fit to give your son, and your son gave his life that we would have a right to the tree of life. If there's anyone right now under the sound of my voice that hasn't accepted the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, that they will do it today. That they will take that blood that he is already donating, that we might be cleansed and made whole and be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.